I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you ready to answer up there for your actions down here? Because every day the day draws closer when you and I, we will stand alone before the throne of the Savior and give an account. We don't talk about this a lot, but we believers must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done by us while in the body, whether good or bad. Hopefully, it'll be mostly good. Since then, we in the body know what it is to fear the Lord. It's not like, we know, we understand because Jesus came and showed us. We understand to fear the Lord as a child regards the absolute authority of a loving parent. So since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others that what we are, good or bad, is plain to God, our Father. And since we know the heart is deceitful above all things, Paul says, I just hope it's also plain to your conscience. Because it's plain to your Father. But is it plain to your conscience? Probably not. It will be today. For none of us in the body lives for ourselves now. We don't do that, right? None of us even dies just for ourselves alone. No, because all of us know that we'll stand alone to give an account for ourselves. So therefore, if we live, we live for the Lord. Amen. That's what we live for the Lord, on account of His call and our created purpose. And even if we die, I mean, this is a no-lose situation. If we die for the Lord, knowing that even our death, however shockingly it may come and unexpectedly, knowing and trusting that even our death is part of this perfect plan. So whether we in the body, we sincere believers, whether we live or die, we win. Because we belong to the Lord. He's our master. For we will all, not just us, everyone, we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. You just wait and see. And every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, brothers and sisters, let us keep in mind that each of us, sincere servants who belong to the Lord, will give an account of ourselves to God. And you see, our account will involve answering five essential aspects concerning our created purpose. And there'll be no pulling the wool over his eyes. So, in order to have five good and faithful answers up there, well, we need to do all we can here and now, down here, to prepare our heart for our five-part created purpose final exam. Okay? For example, I'll just rattle through them real quick. Number one, we were created. This is pretty straightforward. That's why we'll feel so silly if our answers are bad. We were created to believe in something, namely the one true God and Father of all the living. And since true belief means recognizing and then receiving and then responding to our Creator's authority, the question will simply be, did you love me? Did you love me above all else? It's a yes or no. And imagine if the answer is no. Yikes, right? At best, in that moment, it would be a soul-crushing realization in the presence of my Creator that I had refused to experience the truest love for which I was created. And worse yet, in that moment, it will all just be so unthinkingly obvious and irresistibly appealing. And why didn't I? And then just the knowledge there's four more created purpose categories for which to answer for. Because number two, we were also created to belong to something. His body. His flock. And since true belonging involves interacting and interrelating and interconnecting with other believers, the question will be, did you bond with my kids? You know, your eternal brothers and sisters here. It's a yes or no. Did you bond with the kids? And three, we were created to become something, i.e. what he would be if he were me. And since true becoming requires discipline, and discipline requires devotion, and devotion requires dedication, you know, to examine his example and put it into practice in our lives, well, the question will simply be, did you act like me? Did you act like me if I were thee? Yes or no? I think he mainly speaks King James when it rhymes. I think that's the rule I'm going with. And since he's the vine and we're the branches, number four, we were created to branch out to something. Because we're called to sow and grow and bear fruit. And true branching is all about extending the good news of the cross of Christ as the tree of eternal life. With our family and our friends and our neighbors around the world, wherever we find ourselves. And so the question will be, did you share me? Did you share me? Yes or no? It's a two-parter. A, did you share me? If so, with grace? Was it with grace? And finally, we were created to bestow something. Our service on his behalf. And since true bestowing always involves, you've heard this before, our time and our talents and our treasures to meet the needs that match our resources, the question will be, did you care for others as only you could? Yes or no? And in that moment, before his throne, standing alone, face to face, finally, fully seeing, understanding, knowing, and then giving your one-on-one account about what you did with what you were given, imagine what you would give in that moment, what you would be willing to give to be able to give a resounding yes, 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 yes A, and yes B, and yes. It's not like he didn't lay out a warning in simple children's story terms, right? Saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants. That's us in the story, okay? And delivered his goods to them. And I like that it's called his goods. You got his goods. He gave you his goods. And that's our created potential. And to one, you know the story, to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And this was the most fair thing he could do because it was to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now, to make sure you're staying alert, I would like some participation on your part. So I'm going to hold up a sign and you're going to yell out what it says. Let's practice. Yay! There you go. See, it's like the rejoicing in heaven. Ready? Okay. And? That's like the jeering in the Princess Bride. So it needs a little more attitude. Okay, there we go. Okay, let's read the rest of the scripture. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. I like that verbiage. He traded with them and made another 5 talents. Yay! And likewise, he who had received 2, well, he gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Yeah, well, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts when they came to give an account. Now, he who had received 5 talents came to give an account, and he brought 5 other talents, and his Lord said, hear this now, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Yay! make sure I got the right one. And he also, I wonder if I put up the wrong one. Everyone, you would, wouldn't you? You would all yell boo and then laugh at me. He also, who had received 2 talents, came, and his Lord said to him, now read this with me, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Yay!
Then came Doug. Sorry if your name's Doug. It's spelled D-U-G. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I was afraid and went and hid your talent.
Ooh.
Yeah, but his Lord answered and said to him, oh, you wicked and lazy servant. You ought to have, you know, at least deposited my money with the bankers. Now, you have to understand the point there. That's like us. I can't, Lord, I can't do anything on my own. And he says, so go deposit yourself in a small group. Go deposit yourself with some people that can help you. Get some people that will help you do something. That's like our ministry fair. All you 300 plus people who didn't bury it. But yeah, deposit my monkey. Deposit my monkey with the bankers. I like that story better. He gave one guy 5 monkeys. Oh, no, stop. Okay, who could have helped you? Yeah, it's monkeys. We decided. Okay. He says, so take the talent that was only on loan, right? From him. For to everyone who has what? Has gained from the goods they've been given, more will be given. But from him who does not have what? Any gain from God's goods, even what he has on loan, will be taken away. See, that's scary because all these talents and abilities and positions and the things that make us, we don't know how many of those aren't ours. They're just given. But what we do know is what you do with them. For God's kingdom, that's yours. That's yours to present when you stand before him. Which is why God places a high, high value on self-examination. Again and again in Scripture, we're warned to examine and strengthen our spiritual self. Paul just says it flat out in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith, you know, and not just merely in the church. Because we can fool ourselves. He says, test. That's what we're doing today. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? You go, yeah, why is he saying that? Because he means, do you not realize what Christ Jesus is doing in there? Do you not get what's going on inside you? For it is God who works in you to fulfill his good purpose. You go, oh, good. He's doing it. Nah, but you, dear friends, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith. And continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. Because he's doing battle in our self-deceiving hearts. I tried to find a picture of like, yeah, what it must be like where Jesus lives. You know, I was like, oh, that's what you live in? He's, yeah, it's a real fixer-upper though. You know? But he's hard at work, right? Got a lot of work to do. And he's doing all he can with the limited cooperation and the limited time that he's got to get us good and ready to fly right through that final exam like he wants us to, so we can enter into the joy of our Lord. Yeah, I need to give you
yeah.
I'll keep that handy right there. Anytime you think I should use it, you just cue me and I'll stick it up. I should just give it to you. Okay, no, I shouldn't. So we're going to test ourselves right now for 5 vital signs of a good and faithful servant. But before, I got to tell you this story. because I'm so dumb. How many of you happen to remember Dr. Harry Worley? Anybody? We're going way back. Yeah. He delivered the first baby at Skagit Valley Hospital. He also delivered me back in 62. And he was my pediatrician growing up. He's the only doctor. This is key. He was the only doctor I knew growing up. He's my pediatrian. Now, in my mid to late 20s, I hadn't seen him or a doctor for years, but there was a thing going on and I had to have a full physical exam and filled out and all. And I thought, you know, in your 20s, you don't know how to buy a house. You don't know how to find a doctor. There's just things you haven't learned. And so, well, I'll just call Dr. Worley's office. And yeah, can I make an appointment for a physical exam? And they made me the appointment. Nobody told me he had become a gynecologist. About 5 years earlier. So I'm making an appointment for a physical exam with a gynecologist. Just get that in your head. And I didn't know I needed to ask. How do you know? You wouldn't even think. And he was aging out his pediatric patients, so I guess maybe that's why the receptionist made the appointment. She saw I was a patient. I don't know. I do have a high voice. She might have thought I was a lady named Bruce. So I check in. I check in and sit down, and I tell you, it's just me and the ladies. I think nothing of it, but they're giving me these little strange, curious glances. I get it now. But at the time, I'm just smiling back like a dope. And one says, are you waiting for your wife? No. I thought, that's an odd question to ask. And then I'm led into an examination room, and immediately it doesn't feel right. The ladies are laughing. It'd be kind of like a lady walking into a restroom and seeing a urinal and going, why would that be? But Dr. Worley comes in and he couldn't be nicer. Such a nice doctor. And he gives me the physical exam. And after...
Did he use the stirrups or
not? No. Yeah. So, I don't even know what that means other than it's inappropriate. So I get the laugh. No, he tells me, after the exam, mind you, he and the nurses are giggling. And he says, I have something fairly serious to tell you. And I said, what's that? He says, I'm a gynecologist. And I'm just mortified. I said, what? He says, mm-hmm. And I've been phasing out my pediatric patients. And he says, Bruce, he puts his hand on my shoulder, Bruce, you're a little too old and a lot too male to ever come back. So I have to leave through the lobby. I open the door. The ladies all look up at me, but it's me. And if you give me lemons, I'm going to make a joke about lemons. And so I looked at the ladies and I said, whew, not pregnant. That's my story of the time I went to my gynecologist. Okay, so we got to get moving. For our spiritual physical, we need to know that we're being examined by the right physician, the great physician Jesus, by asking 5 vital questions to make sure we don't end up in the very wrong place. And as we test ourselves now, we'll be coasting toward the end here, we're going to figure out our fitness level, the fitness level of our faith. And so I'll pause on each one of these 5, so you can grade your current condition with an A for fit, or a B for effort, C for feeble, or D for flatlining. So, are you ready to see how ready you are to settle your account? Because ready or not, first off, you got your papers, yeah. Because I just realized, not all of you have transcripts, do you? Okay, if you have a transcript, it's right there to circle. If you don't have a transcript, then you can jump ahead of the... I didn't even think of that. See, okay, well, third service, we'll take care of that at Costco. On your little card, your heart rate card, there's five, you know, this is not going to show up. This is the next step, but if you don't have a transcript, you can use your card, you'll figure it out. Because the words are there and so are the letters. So when it comes to believing, we need to test our faith by asking, what is the center of my life? Which is all about worship and devotion when it comes right down to it. Because if we fail to devote ourselves to our Lord, we will find a substitute. We all do it. Career, sports, hobbies, money, family, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's not about will I be devoted to something as the center of my life. No, you are. So it's all about what am I actually devoted to? Because something is the center of your life around which the majority of your decisions and your desires and your actions revolve. And it's either the Savior or a substitute. Because we can't have two masters. So, how would you grade yourself when it comes to recognizing, receiving, and responding to His authority with like a well-developed plan for deepening your intimacy, as well as praising Him freely, worshiping Him physically and emotionally, both publicly and privately? What do you give yourselves? Circle A, B, C, or D, A for fit, B for effort, C for feeble, or D for flatlining. And if you don't have a transcript, you can just take your little heart monitor card and you can put a dot there where the letter meets the word. Okay, that's the first one. And when it comes to belonging, we need to ask, what is the community of my life? Who are your people? It's all about fellowship and relationships, because we were designed to grow together, not apart, which is why we must interact with other growing believers. Spiritual fruit like patience, kindness, goodness, it can't grow in isolation. We have to have others to encourage us and confront us and irritate us and support us, and to whom we can return all those favors. So, who are you influencing, and who are you being influenced by? What grade do you give yourself for interacting, interrelating, and just plain old connecting with fellow believers of Christ, followers of Christ? A, B, C, or D, circle one or put your dot on the card. A for effort, A for fit, B for effort, C for feeble, or D for flatlining. And go with your first instinct. Don't overthink this. It's like, well, if I was being honest with myself, I'd probably be honest with yourself, because we're usually not. You're going to be incredibly honest with yourself up there. So this is the one time, one place where you need to be incredibly honest with yourself. If I was answering honestly, I'd probably just do that. Okay, and then when it comes to becoming, we have to ask, what is the character of my life? Which is all about discipleship and discipline. There's only a couple things you can take to heaven, and Christ-like character is one of them. We're all developing and have developed habits. The question is, am I developing godly habits? Because habits flow from our values and our attitudes and our day-to-day decisions. And so if we fail to focus on acting like Christ, we will reflexively act like our parents or our peers or our favorite personalities. So what grade do you get for the discipline, devotion, and dedication it takes to put His example into practice in your life on a day-to-day basis? A, B, C, or D? Choose your letter. And when it comes to branching out, we need to ask, what is the communication of my life? Which is all about our calling as Christ's ambassadors to share our life openly, readily, honestly, without fear of rejection. Just share us to people and to reach out readily and respectfully to our family and friends and whoever happens to sit next to us on the airplane, right? Remember, you only have a couple things you can take to heaven, and the other is others. So who are you bringing with you? Or are you content for now to leave them all behind. What grade do you give yourself in regard to reaching out to those in desperate need of God's love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and eternal life through Christ? A, B, C, or D? And when it comes to bestowing, the final one, we have to ask, what is the contribution of my life? Which is all about caring for others by serving your own purpose. Because you were created, as was I, to contribute to God's creation. And he created each of us with a unique set of skills and passions and given us financial means expressly for this purpose. So are you caring for the needs that you're cut out for? Because true greatness is not gauged by who serves you, but it's who you serve. The only good thing you should be leaving behind when you die is a legacy. So what grade do you give yourself for the way you use your time, talents, and treasure consistently, proportionally, and sacrificially? A, B, C, or D? Okay, if you've been using the transcript, now pick up your card because we are going to hook you up to that little heart monitor. And so if you haven't already done this, transfer your grades by making a dot. So you have the believe, that guy got an A, belong, that guy got a C, become a B. See? So go ahead and do that. Make your dots on your little heart monitor card. Okay, now simply connect the dots. Just draw a line. Connect the dots. This is your spiritual EKG. It is your eternal kingdom grade. And now you should be able to just see at a glance which entrusted goods need immediate attention to improve your condition before you stand before him face to face. And so now I assume all of us need a little work in some department. So now it's time to write your prescription. So flip your heart monitor card over. You'll see a prescription card. Now what I'd like you to do is simply put an X in the box next to the category for which you gave yourself a C or a D. We'll ignore the A's and B's. But if you gave yourself a C or a D, put an X next to that category. And this is your prescription. You may notice that each one of these has seven scriptures to target the problem. And so now it's just as simple as this. Take that card home. Use it as a bookmark for your Bible. But take the next 7 days. Let's just do one category at a time if you've got more than one. But just take one category and read one of those scriptures every morning for 7 days. Read one in the morning. Let it soak in and settle in throughout the day. And after 7 days in a row, if you don't see improvement, repeat. Okay? Because I guarantee, if you just do that, simple as that, you just read a scripture targeting whatever that situation is every morning, you'll change. That's how it happens. Well, let's wrap this up. Yes, we will stand alone, but we're all in this together. And now that we have no excuses, what do you say that we improve the health of our body? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you as the one true creator and father of all. Holy Spirit, connect us, correct us, and compel us to care for those around us. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you as our merciful master and mentor and role model. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.